This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radio.com Sports presents Bet Sweats with Joe Ostrowski, breaking down the latest in sports betting.
Joe Ostrowski, Sarah Perlman with you on a Tuesday. This is Bet Sweats, Radio.com Sports. And Sarah, back in my producing days, when Charles Davis had like 13 jobs, I would always bug him. And he would always make sure to come on in Chicago on The Score with my guy Lawrence Holmes, that he would hang out for like 30, 45 minutes just telling old football stories. And now we've got Eli bugging Charles Davis to come on with me, the NFL analyst for CBS Sports. You hear him every Sunday and watch him on CBS with Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, with us on the show. How you doing, Charles?
I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
We're doing fantastic. Much better than the Eagles' offense, even though there was a lot of garbage scoring. The final box score looked a lot closer than what we were witnessing on the field last night. But I want to talk about another quarterback. I can't talk about these bad offenses anymore, Charles. I have to talk about the Bears' offense every single day. So let's talk about Patrick Mahomes a little bit. And it's amazing. The guy's averaging 400 passing yards over his last four games. And I know you're big on the history of the game, so I'd assume that you're not big on some of those shows that do the hot takes like every week based on what we saw this past Sunday. Now he's the greatest of all time. But I mean, honestly, how long do we have to wait before we can put this guy like up there with the Pantheon? I don't know that we've seen this early before.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to wait per se. I think we just need to have a caveat. And the caveat is very simply, if he continues on this trajectory, on this track, we know that he is headed toward historic, you know, not just numbers, but the next generation is going to talk about where's the next Patrick Mahomes coming from, right? Who's going to be the guy that's going to be our Patrick Mahomes? Because we all see it. It's right in front of us. It's like that Geico commercial with the guy with the blue hair walks by. We all see it. We all see it. And yeah, why not? Let's go ahead and celebrate this guy. He already won a Super Bowl. He's got a team in position to compete for another one. He makes play after play after play. And some of the plays he makes will not go down in history where people go, oh, you remember that throw? How about just simply a three-point lead late against Tom Brady where you don't want to give the ball back to him again and creating first downs on third and longs twice to seal the ball game? That's it. That's quarterbacking 101, 102, 103, 104, 105. It's not always the big strike. It's what do you need to win the game? And he does that as well. So I'm totally with you. Let's go ahead and put him in historical terms and just sit back and watch the show. And let's hope that we get the show for the 15 years we're expecting.
Absolutely, Charles. Talking to Charles Davis again. And thanks for joining us. I do want to talk about another amazing player who's young, but a receiver in DK Metcalf, who we saw just shine last night. I know he kind of said that Jim Schwartz was able to, I guess, fire the beast inside him by calling him, you know, not the Megatron yet, not there yet. But what is his ceiling? What do you make of DK Metcalf and what he's done in his short career thus far?
Well, his ceiling is everything that you just talked about, Sarah. I mean, it is Megatron. It is, you know, whoever we want to put in that, but in a plus size category with smaller person's feet and footwork. And frankly, us in the scouting world, in the evaluation world, there are a good number that missed on that. Because when he came out, you know, and you know how it gets with revisionist history, when a guy exceeds what people think, you know, there's always that person or two that goes, you know, I said he was the best receiver in the draft. Right? You know it's coming, right? And you kick back and you go, I don't remember hearing you say that then, but okay, go with it now. I got it. The fear with him was two things. One, the injuries he had. Remember, he had a neck problem and a couple other things at Ole Miss. And the second was, could he change direction? We knew he was fast, all right? But sometimes, like if you ever gone on a cruise, those big ships trying to turn, and I don't know if that's the proper term or terminology for what they are. You ever see them try and turn? It's difficult, right? That's what they were worried about with DK Metcalf. Well, guess what? We're wrong about that too. So Everything we're talking about now, and there isn't a quarterback out there who wouldn't love to throw to a guy with his catch radius. I just had Indianapolis this past week. You remember in San Diego and Los Angeles, Philip Rivers, what did he have? He had those plus-size receivers, right, that he loved. Those small forwards, power forward receivers, not just tight ends, but those big receivers with big catch radiuses, very forgiving for a quarterback. Even if you're an accurate quarterback, those guys give you license to make throws that you wouldn't ordinarily make. And DK Metcalf will make it right for you downfield because of his size and his ability to go up and get it.
Charles, let's go to that Indy-Tennessee game that you just had. I think most of us expected it to be a much closer game than it ended up being. But let's hit on both sides, because what's amazing about the Titans, I had my questions early on, even though they had the 5-0 start. How real are they? And now we're starting to see it. And it's Derrick Henry time. And then on the Indy side, like, they really confound me. You believe in the head coach. They have the great offensive line. We've learned this season about the strong defense, just dealing with a lot of injuries right now. But I do wonder at times, okay, what is their identity offensively? What were your big takeaways after witnessing Sunday?
Well, I'll start with Indianapolis, because I'm with you on them. I want to believe in them, and I like them. I thought that they got jolted really late in the week. And when I say late in the week, I think they got jolted game during the week and then late in the week. And what I mean by that is, I think it was Wednesday that it was announced that DeForest Buckner, COVID-19 list. DeNico Autry was already on it, the other D-tackle, D-end, and they would hope that he'd make it back. He wasn't going to make it back. That tells us that he wasn't asymptomatic, right? He had tested, and now he needed the full time before he could make it back. So now you're down two big defensive linemen. Buckner, one of the better run defenders in the league, and here comes Derrick Henry. And then you wake up on Saturday, and Jonathan Taylor, who just had his best game for you as a runner, now has been in contact. I believe his girlfriend had come back and tested positive, so he can't go. So you never use injuries as an excuse, but I think they got rocked a little bit this week. I really do. Going into that game, it couldn't have been worse. You lose two great defensive linemen, and then you lose the guy who could help you control the ball on offense against a team who's going to try and control it with their running game. So that was bad for them. So I still believe in them, but consistency is going to be the key for them down the stretch. Can they get those guys back, get that defense back where it was? Because the last couple of games, Green Bay dented them pretty well, although they played well in the second half. And then, of course, Tennessee ran over them. Now flip it over to Tennessee. We know what they're like when Derrick Henry controls the game. We've seen that. I mean, look, what we saw on Sunday, we've seen that before, right? This is not a new record that they're playing. But I do think that they have the ability, unlike many other teams that are run-first teams, I think they have the ability to throw it and win it as well if they have to. Because I think Tannehill is more than capable thrower. I think he's an excellent thrower the way his career has come along. And now he has guys on the perimeter who can make plays. See, Corey Davis has come along now, a former number one pick that people thought, was he really? Well, A.J. Brown has really opened up things for him, and Corey is healthy now. Okay, they've got two tight ends in Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser who get open for you downfield, and Smith can really make plays down the middle of the field. Okay, and so they can swing it out of the backfield. Henry can actually catch the ball. People don't think that, but he can. Now, he won't be a huge part of the pass-catching game. But they have guys who are capable, McNichols can do it out of the backfield. I just think that this team can do more than just run the football, which gives me a lot of optimism. And on the flip side, if they can play third down defense the rest of the way as they played it on Sunday, because you guys know they were historically bad. Seriously, they were 54% giving up third downs on defense coming into this game. We did our research. You know that no team that has given up over 50% on defense on third down in the history of the NFL, since they kept that stat, has ever made the playoffs? Ever.
Wow.
In fact, I went and looked at it. The previous five teams who gave up over 50% on defense prior to our ball game, the previous five for the season, their combined record was 13-55. So what Tennessee was doing was they were a total outlier. That's not supposed to happen. They have to be better, and they were better against Indianapolis. I think it was 5 of 13 Indianapolis was, and it really was more like 3 of 10 before you get to garbage time. So that's how they have to play the rest of the way, and it's going to be interesting to watch because they signed Jadeveon Clowney. They signed Vic Beasley to give them edge pressure. They haven't gotten that. Beasley they've cut. Clowney's IR. Harold Landry is really playing well, but they need him and Jeffrey Simmons to put some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, Titans definitely on a little bit of a roll there, beating the Ravens and that big win, and then, of course, the Colts, which you were on the call. Just talking about the Ravens tomorrow, or excuse, yes, tomorrow. I'm getting all confused in the days now. They're playing the Steelers. And I know some reports have come out that J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram may be able to play if they could fly up tomorrow, if their COVID results and all that come back. But regardless, with Lamar out and just the delay of the game, what are you expecting to see during the Ravens-Steelers game?
It's going to be an interesting game because there's a rhythm to getting ready each and every week. There's a process that you follow. And in no way could either one of these teams be in rhythm and in sync. We're going to play on Sunday. Nope, we're going to play on Monday. We're going to play on Tuesday. Nope, now we're going to play on Wednesday. No, because you ramp up to a certain style, a certain way. We'll see. If anyone's able to somehow jump out early, right, and feel like they kind of have it together, that might be enough in this ball game. Plus, I think emotions are going to run really high in this one, guys, because everyone has done a pretty good job overall of saying, hey, COVID is a virus, okay, we're all trying to do our thing. But you saw what happened when the Ravens got nailed, right? And the game got moved. The Steelers came out on social media, and I say the Steelers, a few of the Steelers, and were highly critical of the Ravens, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You know, we're doing the right thing. This is the second time we're getting nailed for this. You guys be responsible. It wasn't 2 days later. The Steelers lost a guy like James Conner, who is the worst guy to lose because his system's already compromised because he beat leukemia. So all of a sudden now, you've got a few guys on your squad, and you've already pointed the finger at the other. Guess what? See, at the 50-yard line, we may just go ahead and throw down. All right? You blame us? Look at yours. So it's. I think emotion is going to be really high in this one. Who can handle them early and just play football? And right now, you've got to give the advantage to Pittsburgh because they still have much more of their team intact, and they're not playing a backup quarterback. Big Ben's playing. The Ravens are playing RG3, who hasn't been a viable starter since, what, his rookie year?
Mm-hmm. Charles, some of our listeners might not know, like calling these games every week for CBS, you get the opportunity to speak with the coaches in preparation. A lot of times they can give you some context of what's going on, or not too much of the game plan, but just give you some ideas what they're planning for the upcoming week. What are the coaches telling you? We were just talking about these challenges that teams are dealing with, and it's hard to ramp up to a week when you don't know when you're going to play. What are some of the other challenges that these coaches are going through on a weekly basis?
I think that just from what we've heard and what coaches are talking about, the biggest challenges are just simply you have a routine and you're trying to stick with it and you're trying to be responsible and take care of each other, but there's still real life going on. Okay, these people are men who have families, wives, girlfriends, loved ones around them that they're trying to protect. But if your kids are going to school, they may come home, right? You know, you go out and get a haircut, something, you know, you may encounter someone you don't know. Everyone's doing their best. At least you hope they are, and that's what you're preaching to your team. But the idea that you're going to get upset and start flailing at the system, I think all coaches are reminding themselves and their teams, and they remind us when we talk to them, we do our best, but I can't spend all my time, you know, pointing fingers. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. We deal with what comes at us as it comes at us. And the last thing I'll tell you is every one of the coaches has told us, if somehow I get to 5 o'clock in the morning and my phone hasn't rang, I think I've got a chance that day, because that's when you get the early morning phone call with the testing that came in from the day before. hey, who's okay, who's not okay, whatever. But if you're getting that early morning phone call, you're getting that 4:30 a.m. call, your day's headed for a bad, you're headed towards a bad day, because now you've got to reconfigure, okay, is this person out for how long? Is the backup going to have to play? Is there any chance he can play this weekend? You see where I'm going. It changes everything.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult during this time with COVID. But I hate to go back to last night's game. We'll step away from the medical side for a second. And the NFC East is just so open, Charles, because it seems like one team wins, they lose, the Eagles win, whatever, the Cowboys lose, whatever it may be. But you look at the Eagles last night and Carson Wentz, and certainly he struggled this season. But what did you make about their decision, the Eagles' decision, to not put Jalen Hurts for much of the game at all?
I take it that they have a starting quarterback that they want to believe in, and they realize that this is not all on him. And I think that Jalen Hurts is going to get his opportunity, maybe even this week. It wouldn't shock me at all, because they're in a tailspin and they need to mix things up and change it up. And I wouldn't be surprised if it looked good for a while. My question would be, how long can you sustain it? Because I think that offensive line's in shambles. Your left tackle blindside guy was playing Australian rules football or rugby or whatever it was 3 years ago for the Sydney or whatever, West Sydney Rabbitohs or whoever it is. I'm not disparaging him, okay? He's a big, strong, physical prospect. But are we really believing that, hey, he's really locked in on the NFL game and everything? You're asking a lot, is what I'm saying. You're starting, you know, undrafted free agent at one guard, the other guard. I remember when they lost Matt Pryor earlier this year, it was a big blow. I'm like, it's a sixth round guard, and you guys are dying here. They've got struggles. Lane Johnson is playing hurt. He's not the same guy. Quarterback's getting hit a lot. So everybody's criticizing him for holding on to the ball. Well, here's the next part. How many receivers are getting open downfield? How many are separating and giving him a chance? I think fewer than you would think. So you put it all around, everyone shares in the blame. They might have to get Carson Wentz out just for his own psyche. But Jalen Hurts, does that mean you automatically elevate? I think it'll look good initially, because everyone gets a jolt when there's a change, guys. If you bench your starting quarterback, it's a message to the rest of the team that you better get it in gear, and everyone redoubles their efforts. But can you sustain it if you don't really have what you're looking for? That would be my question with Philadelphia. That roster's struggling right now on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Charles, is there a team in the back of your mind right now? You're thinking, okay, we've got the playoff expansion with seven. Maybe we'll have eight in each conference. Who knows? The NFL has talked about that possibility. But if they get into the postseason, you could see them making a run. All they have to do is get in.
I think Arizona might be that team, guys. And the reason being, you remember when they went to the Super Bowl with Larry Fitzgerald, Kurt Warner, and crew? They got in that year, remember? I think they were like a five or a six? And they get in, and they end up, you know, beating Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game, play Pittsburgh off their feet in the Super Bowl. But I think they were 9-7 in the regular season, okay? I think with Kyler Murray trying to defend him with Hopkins and the rest of the guys that they have there now, Kenyon Drake, when he hangs on to the football, is a more than capable runner. I just feel like they're the type of team that can ride that wave of energy and really can compound people in the playoffs. That'd be a team that I would look at. Now, if things are close and tight and you're looking at, okay, you got to make certain adjustments and things on the sideline, that might come into play a little bit. But overall, I would not want to have to try and defend Kyler Murray and crew in a one-game shot in the playoffs, and that would be a team that I would look at.
And maybe not a long-shot team, but, Charles, what I'm curious is who you think the best team in the NFC is. Certainly you can make a case for two or three teams, but as it stands today, who is the number one, the best team in the NFC?
Best team in the NFC, wow. Oh, boy. You're right. You can make a case all across the board. Well, you take the NFC East and move it aside, right? Then in the NFC South, I think you have to look at New Orleans. Obviously, Tampa Bay comes up because of the Brady thing, but I can't put them in that category now. They've lost twice to New Orleans. They've lost three straight at home. Let's see if that ship gets righted for them, all right? If you go to the NFC North, Green Bay is the squad there now. It's clear and it's there, but you worry about them defensively and people still running the football against them. And then out west, all four are still in play. Who is the best one out there? If Seattle can continue to play good defense, I don't know that you can count what they did against Philadelphia as a true test because Philly struggled so much on offense. But the game before, they made plays down the stretch again and played much better than people thought. If their defense starts to get to be average, I really, you know, it's hard for me to go against Russell Wilson and those Seahawks. It really is. Now San Francisco is going to confound some people, and they continue to do it. But that West is a beast out there. But right now, I'd say if Green Bay can play with a lead, they're going to be hard to beat. But if it's a game where you can run the football on them and beat them up, they're going to have to prove they can stop some people that way.
Yeah, they made that Bears defense tap out on Sunday night fairly early in that one. Charles, as we let you go here, I've got to ask you about Madden. Like, I've been out of the video game for a while. Like, my son's into, like, the Minecraft and the Fortnite and that stuff. So I'm hoping he gets into Madden. But I have a feeling if I were to try to play, I would just be completely lost. But being one of the voices on Madden, like, can you tell us about that process and how often people approach you about that?
Yeah, you know, it's we're fortunate enough. I'm part of something that is just bigger than, you know, even I could have imagined. I mean, what Coach Madden put together with EA Sports and be part of that franchise. And, you know, every Monday and Tuesday we go in and work on it during the season. You know, when things are going well, we give fresh commentary off of games that had happened the previous weekend that go right into the game that people can get right now. I know that they're, you know, working on some stuff, and we're also working on next year's game already, you know, trying to advance it. And then as the game goes on, they'll find glitches and hiccups in the game that we have to fix, what we call patches, during the year. So it's a wonderful thing. Obviously, we're not in a studio right now because of COVID, but we're recording from home. So me and my partner, Brandon Gauden, and our producers and engineers and writers, we all get on the horn and we go through the process. And it'll be, you know, 2-4 hours. Each time we sit down to go over this, and, you know, there's a script, but the script isn't strict. The script is much more, okay, today we got to work on, you know, outside runs 10 to 20 yards, okay? The next time we're working on passes that are in the middle of the field, you know, 15 to 20 yards downfield. Hey, we're doing touchdown calls on this one. Hey, we got fumbles today. Hey, we got block kicks today. So it's all everything that goes into a game. And we do it in different blocks, increments, what's necessary at that time. And look, every time the process isn't exactly fun because you're not doing it to video, okay? You're doing it strictly, here's the situation, go. And it's all in your mind with your partner. It helps when you can see each other, but since we can't, it's all what we call theater of the mind. And we just do the best job that we can, and we always try to upgrade it and get better and the whole deal. And, you know, let's face it, if you're a Madden gamer, you want the best, and we try to provide it, and they're always pushing us to be even better. And that's part of the thing that makes it fun.
Awesome. That's really cool. Charles Davis, NFL analyst for CBS. Charles, where are people going to see you this weekend? Do you even know? Is it going to change 10
times?
You're going to find out. We've got to do a different time because of a Christmas lighting.
No. So far, we're okay. And we've got Cleveland at Tennessee this weekend in Nashville. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Charles Davis from CBS. Thank you so much, Charles, for coming on Bet Sweats.
Hey, thanks for having me. You guys take care. Happy holiday season to you both.
Thanks, Charles. You too.
Same to you. That's the great Charles Davis, Cleveland, Tennessee. I really like that game. I also expect Tennessee to win. You were talking about them as a future bet, so I assume that you think they're going to take down the Browns this week.
What will we call Cleveland, though? I've ran out of letters.
They're not losing. They need to start losing. Their fan base, man, they were mad at me yesterday. They were getting up in my mentions, Sarah. I didn't block them, though. I didn't block them, though, like Eli. But they were very mad. I wasn't even ripping on the Browns. I just posted the NFL point differentials, and they actually have, even though they're 8-3, they have a negative point differential. So I posted that, and I was really talking about the Bears being like the Giants, and they thought I was making fun of them, and they were not happy at all. I'm like, relax. It's not about your Browns. It's not about your Browns. You know what? I think his Cardinals play is pretty interesting. Because he went to the conference that is wide open, as opposed to the top-heavy teams in the AFC. Yeah. We're talking about the teams that could slide in there. Cardinals, once Kyler Murray's healthy, obviously he's not running right now because they're worried about his injury. But
well, that's just,
you know, once they get healthy, they could make a run.
They could. You just got to hope his shoulder's okay, because the big part of their offense is how dynamic and elusive he could be with running the football. So I like it. It's a wide open conference. I mean, I do like the Cardinals.